Hare Krishna. So, Ananth Prabhu, thank you. So, first of all, I thought he is leaving, so I started speaking about his name. I'm very grateful to you. Sometime back I was in Mumbai, India, and I was planning to visit Europe, various places, primarily to teach Vedic cooking, Sattvic cooking. Because I have experience of cooking since past many years in temple, many places. So now, with the blessings of devotees, I am trying to inculcate this or Vedic cooking within everybody's home, devotee's home especially. So while planning that, Baldev Prabhu, one of my god brother devotee friend, in our ashram in Chowpatty, Mumbai, he suggested, why don't you go to Slovenia? Very nice devotees are there, nice devotee community. He spoke out Ananth Prabhu. I said, of course, why not? I would like to visit. And from that moment onwards, he connected me with Ananth Prabhu. And all the exchanges we had over WhatsApp and over mail was very cordial, very nice. And I felt very much welcomed even before reaching here. So thank you, Ananth Prabhu, and thank all of you, because he is the president here, and I'm sure all of you share a similar kind of feelings within all of you, because naturally he is leading all of you. You must be having the same kind of feeling towards me. And I felt very much, this is the first place I've started my journey within Europe, and I'm feeling very much encouraged. So thank you. So today's topic, yesterday I was in His Holiness Chandramani Swami is having a small retreat. Around 50-60 devotees are there, and I met Maharaj there. Yesterday I took his blessing also, and I met Urukram Prabhu there, who is the leader for Slovenia. And he was telling me, why don't you speak on Vaishnava relationship? Because this is what is a challenge in this time and age, relationship. In Kali Yuga, it is explained. So I said, I will try to speak on this subject. In this age of, the symptoms are quarrel and hypocrisy. A lot of quarrel and hypocrisy is there. And all of us are affected by it. It's not that even myself, I'm not without any hypocrisy. It is there. Because just like in a rainy season, you can't escape rain. It will touch you anyway. Some raindrops will fall you on anyway. So because the time and age is like this, we have been affected by it, infected by it. And to some extent, small or big, depends on how much protection we have, whether we're carrying the umbrella or not, or wearing a raincoat or not. Depending on that, we get affected. So it is natural. We can't expect to be perfectly dry in a very rainy season, when the rain is all over. We can't expect it. That expectation is not right, not appropriate. So now, then how to protect and how to go ahead? That is the whole challenge. My grandmother, she used to tell us stories, so I'll share one of that. It's quite funny. She would speak in a very graphic way and would be listening as very small kids. I was maybe 5 or 6 at that time. She used to tell that there was different ages, Satya Yug, Dwapar Yug, Treta Yug, Kali Yug, like that, you are aware of all these 4 ages? Satya Yug is age of truth, age of, total cordial to each other, nice cooperation, perfect cooperation, and a lot of spiritual feelings everybody would carry in their hearts towards the Lord. Complete obedience, all good qualities. So there was a farmer in that age who happened to be poor, in the sense he didn't have his own land. So he approached the landlord in that village and he asked, can you lend me some little piece of land where I can grow some crop, and when the crop comes out I will share some of this profit with you. But the landlord was very rich, he had a lot of land. He said, don't worry about giving me anything. It was Satya Yuga, no? I'm speaking about the best time. He said, don't worry about giving me anything. You can take this plot of land. There was some plot lying in a corner. He said, I'm not using that land. It is just lying, you know. You use that land, you cultivate your crop and stay happily. You don't have to bring me any profit whatsoever. Just take it. But he said, no, I'm very grateful. I'll try to bring you something, whatever I get. And he happily takes that piece of land, starts cultivating. I start plowing it, because you need to plow before putting any seeds. While plowing, his plow hit something below the ground. He started digging. A huge pot filled with, you know, gold, jewels, rubies, diamonds came out of the land. And without a second thought, he picked that pot and came to the landlord. He said, here is something I found in your land, because the land belongs to you. This belongs to you, you keep it. So he said, no, that land was lying like that. I wasn't even looking at that in that direction. So this was discovered by you. The Lord wanted you to have it, so you keep it. And there was a quarrel between both of them, you know. He said, you keep it. He was saying, no, you keep it. He says, you keep it. No, you keep it. Like that. So that was Satya Yuga, where people were like this. But then my grandmother said, and sometime happened, and gradually Satya Yuga became Kali Yuga. And when the Kali Yuga came, this person, he comes back to the place. He says, okay, since you are not accepting it, I will keep it. They said, how can you keep it? It was found in my land, it is mine. And again another quarrel started. So the influence of time, you know, changes our thought plan, and the selfishness has increased. In Kali Yuga we see it. It is happening. And we are quite very much affected by this. But now, what the problem is, when you become selfish, thinking about ourselves all the time, we become very lonely. Nobody is with us anymore. And in that situation, but as a living entity, we are always looking for relationship. Without relationship, we can't survive. Even if we have, just imagine we have all the riches of the world, but no one with us, no friends, you know, no family, no relatives, no community, no society, then what a wretched situation will it be? Actually, Arjuna, while speaking Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, he was explaining why he doesn't want to fight. Because if I fight, he says, I will kill all these people for whose sake then I would have the kingdom. He was saying like this, I don't want to fight this war, because if I fight, all will be killed. Then for whom this kingdom will be? Just for myself? Just five brothers, that's all? Is it all required? Better I don't fight. That was Arjuna's a real human feeling, you know. So similarly, even if you have everything in this world, but if you don't have a relationship, it is very difficult. Therefore, in the West especially, people have so much affection for dogs and cats, because we look for relationship. And they don't have ego like human beings have. The dogs are always loyal, always faithful. The cat is always there to, you know, give a very comfortable look at us. So therefore, relationship is necessary, first of all. We need to have it. Without relationship, we can't survive. There is no meaning of life. Then, okay, pets can give us some kind of relationship, but the pets are not complete in providing all kind of relation that we look for. For example, they can't talk to us. They can't attend when we are sick, for example. They may do some dogs are quite well trained, they can give a lot of services, they bring newspaper, or do something, some kind of activity they do. That's okay, that's fine. But because dealing with humans, the benefit that we derive in relationship with human beings is much more than benefit we derive from the animals. I'm not against having dogs, you know, or cows, or, you know, cats. That's fine. But then, not at the cost of having losing human relationship. So to have human relationship, there has to be a certain standard. And the problem, we all know, is because of ego, we go away from each other. You know, I have seen very, very, very beautiful people who come together, but after some time, they divorce. The beauty is not enough to keep them together, because the ego is a problem. Same with, even if I have a lot of wealth, still we can't stay together. Or even a rich man, poor man cannot stay together because of ego. So we know all this. This is the problem, is the root cause of all problem is basically ego. And we can't stay together. So then what is the solution? How to overcome these problems and how to stay together? Like when we were doing kirtan, here it was beautiful, kirtan was going on when I entered. All of us were singing, glorifying Supreme Lord. And at the moment of kirtan, actually, we are all together in one spirit during kirtan time. And the challenge is, when the kirtan is not there, how to still be together in the spirit, in the same spirit. Then we will be having a very happy life, moment to moment basis. And for that, we have to understand, we have to tackle this problem called ego. You know, there are layers of conditionings that we're putting on ourselves. It is said that we are essentially spirit soul, we are not body, Bhagavad Gita's teachings. But somehow we are misidentifying with this body, and that's where all the problem is beginning. It is said in Gita, Bhumir apanalo vayu khammanabhutarevacha ahankarityamme bhinna prakriti ashtada. This material nature is comprising of 8 elements: earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence and ego. These are the 8 elements. We have the gross body, which is comprising of earth, water, air, fire, ether. And then we have mind along with the senses is another element. Then intelligence, and finally the ego. It is easier to recognize the problem of body and senses and mind, but difficult to recognize the problem of ego. Sometimes we can fight over somebody has a right proposal, for example, something good somebody wants to do, and another person wants to do another good thing. They both are good things. Like we see this more in a devotee community, where two persons come, both have a desire to do good things, but they have a difference on which is better, and there is a fight also. You know, this thing happens, right? Am I right? Right or wrong? Huh? So this is the power of ego. It can make two good people fight with each other. So therefore, the only thing that can counteract ego is humility. Humility means not considering myself to be superior anytime. And then, when we become humble, like in the case of this farmer and the rich man, when they are actually humble in state of mind, they are appreciating each other more. He is saying, oh, you worked hard, you plowed, the pot came to you. He says, no, you are the owner of the land. He is appreciating the other person. So both are taking humble position. The relationship is very nice. But when both take a position that I am the owner, I am the doer, I plowed, I did this thing, then the problem comes. So therefore this ahankar or the ego is the biggest enemy for everyone, for our own self also. And the only antidote that we can have is the humility. that we need to cultivate. So if something we don't have, then how to have it? We have to cultivate. Nothing we get so easily in this material world. Whatever you want to have, a lot of hard work has to go into it. So similarly, if we think we lack humility, then we have to cultivate the humility. And that requires some effort. Somewhere we have to start. We are at different positions. Somewhere we have to start. So we see in the beginning of any relationship, humility is present in very excess. Humility is naturally present. In the beginning of relationship, it is already there. But the problem is with time, that humility level goes down and the ego level comes up. It happens eventually. I have seen, like I have been in Hare Krishna movement since past more than 20 years. And when I look back, the days when we started was a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of sacrifices. Compared to, we are still doing sacrifices, but the spirit has, you know, it goes down a little bit somehow. And in just like in any disease situation, sickness situation, the symptoms are that our body, you know, goes into rest mode, we fall asleep, and the activity is not much surcharged with, you know, energy, vigor. So similarly, when these symptoms come in our life, we understand there is a problem, and we have to take medicines. We have to recuperate. We have to do something about it. And we have to act on the situation, the sickness. And even I am experiencing it with a living of 22 years of life in Hare Krishna temple. We can understand it is not easy. The climate is very adverse nowadays. The climate is very adverse, very, very adverse. So while reflecting on all this, to cultivate humility, we need to have all this spiritual knowledge, knowledge of scriptures, association of devotees who are having humility, and showing, exhibiting it in situation when we don't agree to other person. So these are the things that we have to adapt in our life gradually. So there are a few things I wanted to discuss in this point. There is, like we know, all the three modes of material nature is constantly we are affected by it. A mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. I was explaining the other day in my cooking theory class that activities in mode of goodness doesn't give result so easily. Activity in mode of passion give results little faster, and activities in mode of ignorance give result very quick. But what is the result in activity in mode of ignorance? Result is destruction, basically. Actually, it has also its advantage. It's not always destruction. We need mode of ignorance because we are made up of sattva, rajas, tamas. That means we are made up of goodness, passion, ignorance. Our body, our mind, our senses, our activities, everything, our food, our everything is, this three nature is there: goodness, passion, ignorance. So we need mode of ignorance. And what is that? We need to take rest in the night, for example. That is mode of ignorance. When you fall asleep, we don't know who we are. We are totally lost. When we are sleeping, we forget who we are, where we are sleeping, India or Slovenia, or, you know, just totally forget. And whether a man, woman, all these designations just simply vanish the moment we sleep. And we require this rest because for some time we have some peace in life, isn't it? It's like called ignorance is bliss. In English there is a saying, ignorance is bliss. For some time, all this headache, all these problems, all this, just go, let go. So sleep is required. People who can't sleep have very difficult life. And a sleep problem is very difficult life. That means we need mode of ignorance. That is a need. But the problem is, if we fall asleep, we don't want to get up. You know? And then the mode of ignorance, instead of helping, it start destroying us. Like in the Mangalarti, we get up. Sometimes it doesn't allow us to get up. Ignorance is just, it's not that you are, somebody is tied you up in the bed, right? With tight ropes. Nobody is binding you. But we know it is 4:30 or 4:10, now it's time to get up. But we are not able to get up from the bed. You know, something is, you know, who's binding us back into the bed is mode of ignorance. It has the power. So it is destructive. And it is indulging. You know, mode of ignorance is kind of indulging. It just puts you down in the bed. And mode of passion, again, is required. Because unless you work, how can we live? How can you grow crops? How can you harvest crops? How can you cook? How can we eat? How can we live? So activity is required, that requires mode of passion. You know, planning, executing, meeting the deadlines and actually reaping the results, like harvesting. These are all mode of passion activity. But again, the problem is, mode of ignorance drags us to destruction. Mode of passion drags us to hankering. I want more and more and more. The greed factor increases. And that also causes a lot of problem. Mode of passion. So therefore, in spiritual life, the idea is to overcome rajas and tamas. This is a constant fight to overcome passion and ignorance. And what is mode of goodness? Mode of goodness is the one that balances everything. For example, mode of goodness helps us to decide when to go to sleep and when to wake up. And when to start work and when to stop work. That stopping thing, a mode of goodness helps us. So if we don't have mode of goodness enough with us, then it is not possible to get up from the bed, or it is not possible to stop working. All these things will happen. And that what is gradually destructive. Mode of passion, there may be a lot of enjoyment, but with the flow of time, we can't survive. So mode of goodness, it works in the background. There is no directive. Like when I'm falling asleep, I'm sleeping. The result is there instantly. And when I work with mode of passion, some target is there, some planning is there, some execution is there. We know things are happening, and the result is going to come within a month or within 2 years or within 1 year. It's going to come. So there is some experience of achieving. But in mode of goodness, we don't experience any achievement per se. But over a period of time, when you practice, like getting up early or doing, for example, if you do yoga every day, for chanting every day, for example, we do chanting, we don't experience any result. We just finish the chanting somehow, you know, our quota, whatever, 4, 6, 8, 16 rounds, whatever it is. But if we keep chanting for months, for years after years, then we understand that this has helped me to tackle so many things in my life. So many things in life which are happening just like when a plane is, lifting. You may be experiencing it is lifting very fast. But when it is actually flying, you will see that it is not moving very fast, as if it is moving very slowly. But what takes days to reach, it can achieve within hours, right? Like I came from Mumbai to here. It took me some 8 hours flight. But if I would have walked from Mumbai to here, it would have taken months, isn't it? But when flying, it seems, things are going very slow. What's happening, you don't know. Mode of goodness is like that. Everything appears to be very slow, and nothing is, happening around much. But it helps to overcome. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada always emphasized, we should cultivate mode of goodness in our life more. And mode of goodness, like Satya Yoga is more in mode of goodness. Kali Yuga is a mode of passion and more in mode of ignorance. Therefore, so much of drugs and addictions in different forms. Not only intoxications, but also like the WhatsApp, Facebook, you know, all these things. There are also different kind of intoxication that is taking our precious time away from us. It is not. I'm not against sleeping. Similarly, I'm not against WhatsApp. Sleeping is required. Or Facebook, all these things. It's not that I'm against it. But the problem is, if we are not in mode of goodness, then we don't know. We can very well go to sleep, but we don't know when to get up. The goodness is not there. It is destructive. Similarly, if goodness is not there, we don't know when to start a WhatsApp activity or Facebook activity. No, when to stop it. If we are not able to stop it, then there is a problem. There is some kind of ignorance is within us. Some kind of intoxication is affecting us. We have to stop it. That is destructive. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, we have to cultivate mode of goodness. And all the processes, all the teachings of spiritual, So mode of goodness comes by standard spiritual practices. Like meditation, chanting, Mangala Arati, yoga. So all these activities, it may seem that it is not helping me, but it helps me to control passion and ignorance. So it is in the background, but it actually helps. So therefore, unless we do our spiritual practices properly, we can't have control over passion and ignorance. Then those very thing which is giving us pleasure, mode of passion and ignorance, will become cause of our distress. You know, working, achieving is not bad. Going to sleep is very nice, it required. As I said, you know, it takes away all your worries for the days, just goes, you just forget yourself completely. That is good. But if mode of goodness is not there, we are not able to get up. And when you are not able to get up, it is going to kill me, destroy me basically. Too much sleep is not good. Everybody knows it. Similarly, passion is good, but if I am not able to control the passion, then the very source of pleasure coming out of mode of passion will become a cause of severe distress. And we don't want people to suffer. We don't want anybody to suffer. So therefore, the mode of goodness is very much necessary. But it has to come. It will come through meditation, through chanting, all these activities, studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, attending such kind of programs where we discuss about it. It helps. And when we come to mode of goodness, then we understand, the knowledge comes, that how the ego is our real enemy. Otherwise, in mode of passion, ignorance, we cannot understand that ego is a problem. In fact, ego is a fuel to grow. That kartaham iti manyate, Krishna says that I am the doer, I am the achiever, I am the performer. So the passion is required, such kind of feelings. So, but they don't understand the ego. They think ego is helping, but ego is the ultimate enemy. We understand this only in mode of goodness. Because then one may achieve and grow and grow and grow, but at the end of the day, there is no relationship. No one around to share the glory, to speak about it, or to give in charity out of the gain that we get in mode of passion. We get a lot of money, for example, but if you have nobody to share, to give, then what is the point of having that money? And even if we give, somebody doesn't accept with gratitude, then what is the use? You make a lot of money just to give somebody, but there is no loving relationship. The person will not appreciate that. He will take the money, but will not appreciate. Right? These things keep happening around us. So ultimate relationship is required, but a relationship comes only when we have proper knowledge. And the knowledge comes in mode of goodness. Then we understand that, yes, I have to cultivate humility. Because in only humility I can have a good relationship. A relationship which is fulfilling, which is meaningful. And when we have such relationship amongst each other, then we can bring Krishna into our life very easily. We can bring God to our life. But if we are quarreling all the time, how can we invite God into our life, into our hearts? It's not possible. So once we understand these things, we will take positive steps towards how to bring Krishna in our life. So, although this age is an age where mode of passion and ignorance is very much prominent, not allowing mode of goodness to manifest, not only in our lives but in society, in countries, in so many places. But still, we have some hope. Why? Because the Lord wants it. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He wants it. And by His mercy, by His compassion, this is very much possible. Like when I was in ISKCON for some time in the beginning, I came across a beautiful philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we started discussing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although I am from state of Odisha in India, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in Jagannathpuri for 18 continuous years doing so many activities, I was not much aware about his personality, his glory, especially as Supreme Lord. I was not aware. We read about him in the history book, in the schools, where it was said he was a saint of Bhakti order, and which he was, but didn't describe much beyond that point. Neither I had any knowledge. So when I come to Krishna Consciousness Movement by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I learnt about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatness, His exemplary qualities, His relationship with devotees, and He being the Supreme Lord, coming as devotee. But it was difficult to accept in the beginning. And sometimes, but I never asked this question to anybody. The doubt I was carrying in my mind and heart for some time. And then we came across this verse where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Prithivite Achati Nagaradi Grama Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Maranam. All of you are aware of this, right? In wherever you go in the world, in every town and village, the glories of my name will be there. Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Maranam. My name will be glorified. So when I heard this, I thought this is not appropriate, you know. I am just telling all of you. I thought the Lord is little proud, looks like. He's saying my name will be, you know, glorified, things like that. He is coming as a devotee and he is glorifying, he is teaching Krishna's teachings like Bhagavad Gita. Then why is he saying my name? Why not Krishna's name? So I had this doubt in my heart. But I never asked anybody. I felt it will be too much to ask. It's not appropriate. It will be blasphemy, things like that. I don't have that, position or qualification to ask such questions. It is inappropriate. I never asked this question, but it crossed my mind. But you see, in Satyayuga, Lord Narasimhadev appeared. And nobody had the audacity to say whether he is God or not, right? Can anybody say, is Narasimhadev God or not? Can we have this doubt? You'll be instantly, he teared up at Hiranyakashipu, he just killed all his associates. Instantly it was happening and everybody was like this. From Brahma to down to everybody was like this, he's Supreme Lord. No questions, no doubts. But in Kali Yuga, people like me, you know, little education whatsoever, who have this audacity to even think, who is he, God? You know? In Satyayuga there is no question about it. In Kali Yuga we have this strange pride. Without having anything we can challenge these things. In Treta Yuga there are some people who doubted Lord Ram, like, you know, that washerman. He raised some questions, some doubts regarding Lord Ram and Mother Sita, who is chaste and pure. That audacity came little bit in Treta Yuga. And Dwapara Yuga, Krishna was criticized right in front of everybody. And Kali Yuga, nobody really accepts Lord Chaitanya as God. So it is not surprising. Things have deteriorated from the time of Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful, extremely merciful. Despite having such kind of people living in this world, he has actually appeared to save. Because he says, every age I appear to save people. Yada yada dharmasya glani bhavati bharata. We know this shloka. Dharmasya glani bhavati bharata. Abhyatana vadharmasya tadatmanam srajamaham. Paritrana sadhunam vinashadiskrutam. Dharma sangsapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Every age I appeared, irrespective of who the people are, whether it is Satyuga or Tirtha, Dwapar, Kali, doesn't matter. I come to save. But in other ages, there are at least some people who are aware, some great sages, big personalities, they are aware, they appear, and they worship the Lord. But in Kali Yuga, unfortunately, people don't recognize. But despite all this, he says, he has so much faith, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has so much faith in us, that he says, in every village and town, my name will be glorified. Look at the kind of trust he has in us. Hare Krishna. So okay, I had that kind of doubt in my mind, and in 2005 I came to UK and Italy to learn cooking. Nowadays I'm coming to give lessons on cooking, but those days I came to learn how to bake pizzas, especially in wood-fired oven. And I came to UK to learn many continental dishes. And the way Kulangana Mataji, she was making nice sandes those days. She taught me how to make sandes and how to make chocolates, with carob. She taught me all these things in 2005. So I came for the first time from India abroad. And one brahmachari devotee, he very mercifully proposed that let's go around London and see places. Because I was there, I was not having any, currencies in pounds and all those things. And for me to come out of temple, it's very expensive, and I was not thinking to go out anywhere. But he said, let's go. And I was happy, said, okay, let's go and see. Please. He took me to the Science Museum. Because I'm from a technical background, he took me to the Science Museum of UK. And I saw many things there. So while going from subway, from one station to other, there are underground and on the land of land, there are trains were there, local trains. So I was going from one place to another place, changing trains. Then one young woman, she was coming towards me and she said, Gauranga, like that she said. I said, I was first time I'm coming out of, India, in a Western place. So I tried to ignore her, I'm a brahmachari, so Mataji, things like that. I ignored, I started walking. Then she was saying from there, Gauranga came close to me, again said Gauranga, still I ignored, I went ahead, and she crossed past me. Then she was going on a, escalator, staircase, moving staircase, on this side, she was going like this, and she was looking towards me like this, from the staircase, instead of looking that way, she was looking this way, and saying, Gauranga again. Then finally I turned back to her, I said, Gauranga. I smiled, said, Gauranga, I went ahead. And later I reflected upon it. She didn't say me Hare Krishna. She said Gauranga. So I had this doubt whether, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say Krishna's name, but my name. But here he's saying she's a stranger, she's not even a devotee. Wearing Kanthi Mala, all those things. Just nice lady. But she's saying Gauranga. And yesterday I was there in this small village in Slovenia with Chaitanya Chandramani Swami Maharaj.
And there are many devotees coming together doing Gaur Aarti. And here we see Panchatattva and all over here, more Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's temples probably than in India. So it's happening, and I am now happy that His mercy is there everywhere. And He is the Lord of this age, and He has trust in us more than we have in Him. So in that situation, why not? Even if there is a lot of differences of opinion, the difference of difficult times in community, in family, society, whatsoever. But by Gaudita's mercy, I am sure things will be much better. And we have to simply keep going. And the teachings that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving through his disciples, through his devotees, through Srila Prabhupada, we should simply try to reflect on them again and again and try to cultivate those things in our life. And I'm sure things will be fine. In a matter of time, it will be fine. Like Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Instruction, Dadati Pratigranati Guhyam Akhyati Prachyati Pungte Bhojayate Chaiva Sadvir Priti Lakshanam. These are the principles we have to apply in our life more and more. Exchange. Trust. More trust in each other. Something may go wrong here and there, but that's fine. But still having trust. Not rejecting people in our heart and mind, accepting them all the time, and trying to serve each other will definitely bring a good atmosphere within community, within family. And then we'll be able to reach out to so many people who need all these things and help them to grow. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.